time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, this is former Blue Devil O-lineman Matt Skura. You're listening to Basketball Conference, the ACC football podcast. Go Duke, go ACC.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to Basketball Conference, the ACC football podcast. My name's Joey Weaver. He's Mike McDaniel. Mike, week 12 in the books. Ready to recap some games.
Shout out. I am. Interesting week.
Yeah. Any news you're trying to break on the podcast here tonight?
It's not happening tonight, apparently.
Could be anything.
Yeah, not happening tonight. Just check back. Check back again. About 24 hours. We'll see where we're at.
Hypothetically, you know, who's to say?
Jimmy Sexton, man. That's who's to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike, we're live. YouTube.com/@the ACC football podcast. It is a few minutes before 11 o'clock on the East Coast on Sunday, November the 16th. Producer Scott is in the building. Scott, how we doing?
Doing better than I was last week. 2-0 on Sickos this week.
Yeah. We had a
We're not going to talk about the producer's pick of the week. It's dead this year. It's just so dead.
We had a heater of a week on the Sickos picks. We'll get back into that the preview for next week. But let's just say it went very, very well this week. So
love my Nittany Lions. That's what I've always said.
I really love them today.
Big Nittany Lion
guy. I for firing my head coach. Thanks. I have it on good authority, you know? Who's that authority? I don't know.
Could be anybody. Who's to say? Mike, Scott, anything else before we get into a rowback rapid recap?
Nope.
Absolutely not.
As a reminder to the people, use promo code GOACC20 at checkout for 20% off your first order at rowback.com. All sorts of fantastic polos, hoodies, joggers, various types of athleisure wear. Lots of cool patterns on the polos. They got quarter zips, since we're getting to that time of year, apparently. Some people tell me, but again, it was like 84 degrees here today, so absolute misery. But in any case, go get it all at rowback.com. use promo code GOACC20. Check out the game day collection for various schools and their gear. We love them, you will love them as well.
Absolutely.
Rowback rapid recap. Producer Scott, are we ready? Three, two, and one. We're going to go in the order that they are on my screen. Let's start Friday night, Mike.
I love Clemson. The intro to this.
Clemson.
It's so good. Sorry. Continue.
It's just very nostalgic when, you know, ESPN actually showed highlights, you know. Clemson 20, the number 20, the Louisville Cardinals 19. I have lots of thoughts about this game, but I think that the easiest way I can sum it up is I don't remember the last time that I was watching a game and watching the commentary on Twitter and everybody was mad about it. Like, Clemson fans were mad. Louisville fans were mad. People that weren't fans of either team were mad. Everybody was mad watching this game. It was just an absolute mess in a perfect weeknight ACC game.
Yeah, if you were turning on the TV Friday night looking for some good football, this was not it. This was a battle of who wanted to win less.
Yeah. This was, I mean, and once again, Miller Moss, a problem for Louisville, but he was far from the only problem. I mean, there were missed opportunities left and right. Clemson, in a way, kind of stumbled over backwards into this win. Good win for them. This means that they're almost certainly going to go bowling at this point.
Yeah.
Have real questions about what Louisville does for the rest of the year off of a loss like this. They've lost two in a row now following the Cal loss the prior week. They're in a bit of a tipping point, I think, for the way the rest of the season goes.
Good thing they're working hard to extend Jeff Brom.
You could do a whole lot worse, but you could probably do better, maybe.
Yeah.
Best part about that game, besides the sloppiness and overall hilarity of it, was about midway through the first quarter, ESPN came back to my TV because, you know, they struck a deal. So that was the best part.
Joey enjoyed that as well.
Heaven forbid we do that like an hour earlier, so I'm not, you know, spending six hard-earned American dollars on Sling TV for the day.
Yeah. It's the principle.
I was in active discussions, just like James Franklin is in active discussions with Virginia Tech.
Hypothetically.
Scott.
I was in active discussion with Mike about doing a five-day free trial of DirecTV about 6 minutes before he sent us the notification that they made the deal.
I just threw
that out the window.
I was putting Noah to bed, and Scott's texting me about the DirecTV subscription, and like, yeah, no kidding. Like less than 5 minutes later, I text him like, we have a deal.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Just like Virginia Tech and James Franklin.
Moving on to Saturday, number 9, Notre Dame, 37, the number 22, Pitt Panthers, 15. This was not a very competitive game. It's a good thing it didn't really matter to Pitt.
I mean, they played that way. Marcus Freeman seemed to take those words into action with the whole post-game handshake thing. Mm-hmm. Also, I would like to say I really regret taking Pitt plus 12.5.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for handing that out.
Yeah. Yeah, this one got sideways fairly quickly and just stayed that way. This was never really all that close for Pitt, and we'll talk about it a little bit more in depth here as we go. But I don't know what this necessarily means for Pitt, where they've got these two big ACC games left on their schedule. But again, we'll get into that.
Yeah.
Number 15, Miami 41, NC State 7. Speaking of games that were not competitive, this is probably about as complete a performance as we've seen from Miami in ACC play. I mean, this was not a slow start. This was, you know, get out there and score 24 points and it's 24-0 at halftime. Like, if anything, I was a little bit stunned that NC State was not really able to move the ball whatsoever in this game.
Yeah, complete performance by Miami. Really impressive. NC State, I just needed you to score like 17 points.
Good to Yeah. That was a lot to ask, Mike.
I think it was Mike that I saw had a tweet out there that Miami's the best team in the ACC, talent-wise, on the field.
Yeah, I mean,
except they don't know how to close or win games.
I'm not going to argue that. They probably have the best ability to beat anybody on any given day, but they also have that Mario lose any given game gene.
They got the trait that Mario teams have.
That's right. Speaking of, number 16, Georgia Tech, 36. Boston College, 34.
Good win. Win your clunkers. Good win.
Win your clunkers again.
Again. this is at least the third time, Mike, that Georgia Tech has won the Brent Key clunker game this year.
Yeah. Yeah. A big reason why is because Haynes King has never played better football than he has this season. That's a big reason why. You're avoiding losing these types of clunkers because Haynes King is a juggernaut at quarterback. Or what'd LeBron say? LeBron calls him a juggernaut, I think.
A juggernaut?
Yeah, I think that's what Haynes King is. A juggernaut.
Yeah. Georgia Tech puts up 628 yards of offense in this game and needed every last one of them, basically, to put this thing away at the end. And
Nuke Jacket has a question.
Important question. So we're the worst 9-1 team in the country. That's on the table. This is a very flawed team that just keeps finding ways to win somehow, which better than the alternative, but you know.
I was joking on the preview when I said if you let Boston College go up and down the field on you, it's a 5-alarm fire. That was a joke, guys. I wasn't serious about that.
Clearly wasn't all that funny. I mean,
5-alarm fire has arrived defensively.
Yeah, we got lots to talk about with that game for sure. Number 19, Virginia, 34, Duke, 17. Speaking of like best performance of the year, not only did Chandler Morris play, Mike, Chandler Morris played well. Virginia, just owned this game from start to finish. This was a really impressive showing from the Hoos.
One of the best performances we've seen out of UVA in 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah, they were up 31-3 late in the third quarter here. Mm-hmm. This was dominant from them. Do this in 2 weeks and probably in Charlotte. I still don't remember how all the tiebreaker math works, but I think if they beat the Hokies, I think they're in. Or is there something pretty with sure. SMU's win, like opponent win percentage, something or other? I don't know. We'll get there.
Yeah,
pretty sure.
Okay. Really good showing for Virginia. We got to figure out what Duke is at this point, because
bad on defense.
Had a really weird season for the Blue.
Bad on defense.
Yeah. Wake Forest 28, North Carolina 12 in one of the most disgusting bad beats of the season.
Sickening.
Yeah. How many locks have we lost on this podcast this year on like definitive bad beats? Like insane.
I know. Several.
There's that one. There's the Miami going for the cover just to piss people off.
Yeah, against Stanford. Happy. Yep. Garbage.
Yeah.
Garbage.
This is two off the top of my head.
North Carolina's kicker, I believe, was like 4 for 7 on field goals in this game, which when you're attempting 7 field goals in a game, that tells us something.
Yeah.
This was just a real struggle, and Wake Forest made a few more plays. Had some more success moving the ball in this game as well. North Carolina could not finish the drill on offense.
Yeah.
Not as bad as Utah State's kicker last night.
Oh, my God. Scott and I had eyes on that one.
Mm-hmm. That's a shame.
That was horrible. That was a rough watch. Congrats to UNLV.
Last one, Florida State 34, Virginia Tech 14. I texted y'all in the middle of this game. Kyren Drones looks so unconfident throwing the ball.
He's horrible. Like,
I don't know. Like, they've broken that man. Like, however good he once was, he's just not at anymore.
It doesn't matter. We won the offseason. James Franklin. That's right. Doesn't matter.
Hypothetically.
No, yeah, the early talks, good Scott. Authority.
Yeah, the talks are early, is what I'm told.
Lick me from the back, Pete the Mole.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You tell him.
This is fine. Florida State's 5-5 and probably going to a bowl game.
Who do they have left?
Florida? At NC State, at Florida? They'll definitely win one of those, right? Definitely? Definitely.
Which DJ Lagway is going to show up?
What NC State team is going to show up? Let's talk about the week before that.
Ooh, Will Secor, Kyren Drones is just Jeff Sims with a higher ceiling.
Oh, God, I don't know. I don't know about.
We've been
higher.
Talking about Kyren's ceiling for 3 years. Newsflash, people: the ceiling is not the roof.
He's got two games left, and we're still talking about his ceiling. The horse is
get ready to learn Canadian, buddy.
Yeah, something. Get ready to Arena learn roofing. League. Get ready to learn roofing business. This guy's gonna be selling me my fence
insurance. Yeah. Anyways. That's all I got in the Roback rapid recap. Did we miss anything?
No, let's just get into these games.
Let's get into them. One more time, promo code GOACC20 at checkout for 20% off your first order at Roback.com. We're getting into a holiday gift-giving season, so you might be hitting up Roback as part of that. Once again, promo code GOACC20.
You should. They started 20% off whole site-wide for Black Friday, but still type in our code. You'll get 20%. And it'll help us.
It does help us. We appreciate the people who do that.
Let's start with the most impactful game of the weekend. Miami. No, I'm just kidding. let's just start with Georgia Tech.
Let's just start there. Number 16, Georgia Tech 36, Boston College 34. Oh goodness gracious. I don't even know where to start with this. Georgia Tech's defense, absolute shambles in their last two games against both Boston College and NC State. NC State, like you can convince me, you know, CJ Bailey, you know, potentially one of the better quarterbacks in the ACC, especially when he has an on night, which he did. There's some talent in their receiving core. Like, you get it. But even then, like, they were without Hollywood Smothers and Justin Jolie, and that's concerning that then they just went for almost 600 on the on that night. And now a Boston College offense that has, you know, had a moment or two here or there, but like has really struggled with consistency all year, a 1-8 team. And they put up 34 points and basically had you pinned up against the wall. Like, this is a tough scene from Georgia Tech. And like, they won. But I tweeted it out as like, this is like the most miserable watch of a Georgia Tech win. Just spent the whole time. And like, By the way, a little bit behind the curtain. Shortly after this game started, I picked up and went to a kid's birthday party. And my thought was, well, you know, this shouldn't be like that stressful of a game. Like, it should be okay. I remember doing it 2 years ago. Georgia Tech played Virginia and won like 48-10 or something like that. And it's like, okay, not a big deal. Like, don't need to watch this. And the whole time I'm at this party, and I'm trying to watch my kids and I'm trying to be social with the parents. And I'm also trying to watch this game that's like slowly turning into a train wreck. And just an absolute puddle of stress and anxiety. And they got there somehow, some way.
I will say that the good news for Georgia Tech is they did hold Turbo Richard to just under 13 yards per carry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love watching that man run, side point.
Turbo Richard.
A man named Turbo and the way he runs, it's just fun.
Yeah. Yeah. 26 carries for 175 and 3 touchdowns on the ground. That'll do it.
That's total. Is that good? That's total. Fine. Turbo by himself, 11 for 141.
Two scores. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. Thankfully, Georgia Tech's offense puts up over 600 yards in this game. Haynes King throws for the better part of 400 yards. They had two receivers, both Malik Rutherford and Eric Rivers, go for over 100 yards. Rutherford had a long catch and run on a little bubble screen that went for a touchdown for 71 yards, I think. Georgia Tech's defense is an absolute like disaster right now. And there's frustration. I'm seeing it in the comments. Like, this was a vanilla ass game plan, Mike. Like, this was rush four again. Can't get home. What are we going to try next time? We're going to try to rush four. And is that going to work? Nope. We're going to try rush four again. Yep. You bet we are. Like, there were rumors I saw somewhere that, like, somewhere late in the third quarter, apparently there were people that saw Brent Key laying into Blake Gideon, the defensive coordinator, on the sideline. Like, can we try anything else here? Because it's not working, clearly. It's the same thing with C.J. Bailey. They could not make C.J. Bailey uncomfortable even a little bit. Dylan Lonergan, basically the same story. Like, just did whatever he wanted, had guys running wide-ass open because guys are blowing coverages, they're missing tackles, they can't get pressure on the quarterback. Like, it's kind of a miracle that they got the four or five stops they got in this game, because it basically required Boston College to self-destruct on those drives where they got those stops. You know, Boston College, for their part, especially after halftime, I mean, they got whatever they wanted. And, yeah, you know, they did a good job of executing for the big middle part of this game, I would say. It made it extremely difficult, way more difficult than it had to be. Give another defensive effort like that, I have a hard time seeing how you beat Pitt. There's basically no way you're going to beat Georgia in a couple of weeks. So you got to figure something out fast on that.
Joe, you think it's just like a look ahead spot just because of Pitt next week and how bad Boston College is and what their record is?
I can't. So here's the thing. I'm not going to like dismiss this as a look ahead spot because they did the exact same thing before the bye. So, like, this is two games in a row that this has been the game, is rack up 500-plus yards on offense, give up 500-plus yards on defense, and just hope that the sequencing and, like, the end game setup works out well enough for you to win the game.
Old school Big 12, baby.
Yeah. And Dennis, no, there's a personnel game plan issue. Yeah, probably. You know, there's probably some personnel stuff there. The defensive game plans have been super vanilla all year. And somebody would say, well, you know, Blake Gideon knows he doesn't have the talent in the secondary, whatever. Like, if you're going to be giving up 34 points to Boston College, you might as well, like, if you're going to give up big plays where you're sending six or seven guys into the backfield trying to pressure and upset the quarterback. Like, giving up 34 points and 500-plus yards in a game where you're not able to do any of that and you're not really trying anything different is just a miserable watch. What I do want to bring up, And what I think is interesting, and I don't really know what to do with this or where it all comes from or what it all means. Georgia Tech has played 10 games so far. I think that if you lined up these games 1 through 10 of, you know, they played the very best in this game, they played the next best in this game, all the way to the bottom where the 10th game is the absolute worst game they've played. I think there's a good argument to be made that the five worst games they've played so far have been all on the road. And I don't know what to make of that or like how you fix that or why that happens. But I mean, at Colorado, wasn't pretty. At Wake was Brent Key game number one. At Duke, Brent Key game number two. At NC State, you lost and gave up all that. And now at Boston College, you barely won and looked like a mess.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, it looked a lot better. Gardner-Webb, Clemson, Temple, Virginia Tech, and Syracuse all at home. So it's just this bizarre thing of like they've been a much, much better team at home than they have on the road for whatever reason. The nice thing is next week you're at home. The following week you're effectively sort of at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I can complain all day and all night, but my team is 9-1. So like, what can I really be all that upset about, I guess?
So Georgia Tech scored that touchdown in the fourth to take the lead.
Turbo.
And then Turbo, like four plays later, goes right up the middle. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh,
yeah.
Okay, sure.
Like, yeah.
So this isn't the part where Georgia Tech just like turns the tide and ends the game. Now, obviously, we know how the rest of the game went, right?
Well, was it that Georgia drive, Tech like two plays? So it's like three plays earlier, I think, that they got a sack on Lonergan and forced a third and 19. Yeah, forced third and 19.
Yeah.
Immediate 30-yard pass. And then it was two plays later that Turbo Richard, 43 yards up the middle. Like, yeah. That's what we're talking about here is you had them pinned back third and 19, just get a stop, get the punt. You know, you could probably run the clock out, end the game, but no, like three plays later, they're in the end zone. Like,
yeah,
just ridiculous defensive effort here.
Yeah. The chunk plays were a killer. I'm trying to verify this. I believe. So Boston College put up 555 yards on Fordham in the season opener, which was their only win this year. And I'm looking at other candidates. Yeah. So this is the second most yards they've had offensively all year, I believe.
That's probably about right. Yeah.
Which sounds about right. And obviously their best output against FBS competition. Yes, Scott.
Oh, I just wanted to ask why the hell Brent Key took a timeout with 14 seconds left.
Yeah, that was another thing that happened was this
game
sequence.
Yeah, I had looked away and I just assumed he ran the clock all the way down and called timeout. That's not what happened, apparently.
No. So he talked about this in the postgame press conference was where they were. It was like a Haynes King run. I think it was third and five or something. And he ran. He got pretty close to the first down. And what Brent Key saw was the officials on the other side of the field marking it, you know, and kind of giving them the point like, oh, it's a first down. So he wanted to take a timeout, run another play to center it for the kicker, and then call his last timeout, send the field goal unit out there and do the, and go for it. But he went ahead and called the timeout. Then the officials came back and said, no, it's fourth and one. And he was like, well, I can't run another play and risk not getting the first down.
I have to kick now.
So here we are. Yeah. Which, you know, it's one of those things. I don't know. There's often something with Georgia Tech clock management that,
why was he rushing to take a timeout before he knew what down it was?
Because
if it's a first down, the clock's going to stop anyway,
at least for a few seconds.
Right.
So, yeah. I don't know.
Maybe just flustered. Okay.
Did want to call out Lewis Bond, by the way, who had eight catches for 106 in this game, and that made him the all-time leader in receptions at Boston College. He passes Zay Flowers.
Decent player. Yeah.
201 career receptions for Lewis Bond. So shout out to him for that. This was stressful, difficult, but ultimately, you know, you end up the game with more points. Post-game win expectancy, I saw from SP Plus this morning, was, I think, just a little under 60%. So it's not like cannot believe that they won the game, but more like, you know, it was a little bit of a toss-up that you got lucky to win. So
right. A little shootout-y.
Yeah. And just for the record, updated, you know, luckiest team in the country by SP Plus, that would be your fighting Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. That's the kind of season we're having. So enjoy it.
Buzz.
Buzz.
buzz. This feels like a it's not it well, we'll see how the last couple games go, I suppose. This feels like a this feels more like a 9-3-ish team. Now, I don't know if it's going to pan out that way because I think Georgia Tech's better than Pitt. So, like, I don't know. Yeah. And they're not better than Georgia, but, like, and Georgia looked really good yesterday. But this feels like a 9-3 type Georgia Tech team that might end up at, like, 10-2. Which... You know, how far off are you? I mean, they've had a couple of clunkers, but you're not going to lose in theory, right? You're not going to lose all those. So yeah. You call them the luckiest team in the country, but, you know, you'd be very unlucky to lose like all three of the clunkers too. Yeah. You know what I mean? So this just feels more like a 9-3 Georgia Tech, you know, probably should have lost one of these, you know, three toss-up games so far. They've won every single one of them. Yep. And now you're in a spot where you have an opportunity to finish strong, get to the ACC title game.
Yep. Yeah.
Haynes, don't gotta apologize King's for baller. It. Haynes King's a baller.
Yeah. So. At this point, like there is no excuse to me that he does not make it to New York for the ceremony.
Has to. Yeah, I agree.
You know, whether he or someone else wins the trophy, I'll let other people legislate that. And, you know, I can see the arguments for others and why not for him. I get that. But there needs to be some sort of recognition for him of what he's done this year and the way that he has elevated this team. And I mean, you replace him with someone who's, you know, a more middle of the pack quarterback, and this is probably 7-5 or something like that, as opposed to, you know, a 10-2 kind of program. So
he's having the same impact on Georgia Tech that Cam Ward had on Miami last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just not being perceived the same way because he hasn't had to pull like Georgia Tech out of the muck as much as Cam, and he's done it plenty. That's not what I mean. Like, he's done it plenty this year, but it's not like Georgia Tech's been trailing in a bunch of games and you had like crazy Cam Ward comeback, you know, that just hasn't happened a lot to Georgia Tech, but like he's having a similar type impact.
Yep. A couple things from the comments. X little P, first of all, welcome, join. I don't know if I've seen him in there before. Welcome. Glad to have you here. Says Georgia Tech has certainly done the quote unlucky team quote thing in many years. And yeah, that's kind of the thing, is like, it's nice being, going on the magic carpet ride for once and not just, you know, watching others do it and being the victim of it. So, you know, no apologies there. The other thing I'll mention, Nuke Jacket mentions the defense is losing him the Heisman hype. And I'm not sure that I agree with that, honestly. Like, I know that people are pointing that out. No, they lost the NC State game. No way he's going to win the Heisman now. It's like, I think people recognize the kind of season that he's having, the kind of performances he's putting up in these games, even where they lose or it's closer than it should be. It's like, he's doing his part, man. And there's been, somebody pointed out, there's been like three or four very likely touchdowns in the last two games that have just been drops from his receivers, that like the ball was in the right place at the right time and the right play was called and should have been a walk-in, that these touchdowns turn into field goals because someone's dropping the ball or takes a bad route or something, you know. So he's doing his part. He's been outstanding. And again, kind of carrying this team to the, you know, to a pretty heavy extent. So just wanted to call that out about Georgia Tech. Boston College, again, tough year. They're going to bye week and then they're going to go play at Syracuse. this was a bit of a disaster situation for Bill O'Brien, by the way, who.
Yeah.
Absolutely losing his marbles over there on the sideline at one point during this game that cost his team 15 yards. And
he's just frustrated.
I don't know where that's going to end up.
A really bad year.
Yeah.
And I thought I thought what the job he did at BC last year, I thought was pretty good. So then to have this kind of bottom out the way that it has, and they just haven't gotten quarterback right this year. They really haven't. Lonergan played well here, but like they go to Lonergan, they go back to Grayson James, they go back to Lonergan. Like they can't decide what they want to do under center.
Yeah.
Is a lot of the issue. And their offense, like this was like peak offensive performance on Saturday. Like their offense has not looked anything close to this all year.
Yeah.
It's just been, it's been pretty bad.
Yeah. It's a real badge of honor for a defense that offense hadn't looked that good all year as they did today. Figure it out, Blake. Figure it out. Lots of stuff about the linebackers and the secondary just taking terrible routes, and linebackers just can't fit the run to save their lives half the time. And they won. We'll do it again next week. Total in that game, by the way, next week against Pittsburgh is 61.5 over.
Over. Jesus. Yeah. Over. Over. Way over. You see, yeah. Pitt's rushing defense, I was talking. We'll get to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Georgia Tech can run a little bit too.
Anything else here?
Good.
Georgia Tech 36, Boston College 34. Georgia Tech has Pitt next week at Bobby Dodd Stadium, 7 p.m. on ESPN. Win that game, they will be going to Charlotte. Lose that game, probably not, and maybe just praying for some tiebreaker nonsense to go their way. So, pressure's on.
You lose and you enjoy the which bowl game do we think?
They'll get a pretty good bowl game.
Gator Bowl, maybe?
Pop-Tarts Bowl or
Duke's
Gator.
I don't even remember what our bowl tie-ins are and which are the good ones, and I don't know. We got like three weeks to figure that out.
Remember when they called it just like the Tax Slayer Bowl for a couple of years, and they were like, yeah. Everybody liked the Gator Bowl more. The Tax Slayer Gator Bowl.
Yeah.
I can see him playing there.
I'm sure you get a decent crowd traveling down to Jacksonville for probably like New Year's Eve or something like that. Yeah, why not?
Oh, yeah.
All right, where to?
Ad Read. That's where to.
That's there you go. Bravo, carrying your boy.
Mike. Bravo.
Well done. This recap. Hey,
we missed it a couple times. I wanted to make sure we gave Steven his due.
Had to do some editing magic a couple weeks ago to put it into the the post. Anyways, as with all recaps, brought to you by Section103.com. Use promo code GOACC at checkout for 10% off your first order. They've got t-shirts. They've got hats like this one. They've got the coach hoodie that's going great this time of year. They've got sweatshirts. They have stickers. They've got all sorts of great things for every Georgia Tech, Kennesaw State, Georgia Southern, and LSU fan in your life. Use promo code GOACC at checkout for 10% off your first order. The polos, by the way, have been a huge hit there. Highly recommended. I love mine. Just got some more back in stock, as I'm told from Steven. So go check them all out. Things for men, women, children, babies, something with the official Tech Gold, things with the official word mark. Everything is officially licensed. It's all super high quality, super comfortable, looks fantastic. You need something to wear to a game or to show anyone in your life who is you're a Georgia Tech fan, go get it all there, section103.com. And one last time, use promo code GOACC at checkout for 10% off your first order. Shout out to Steven and the gang. Appreciate their support.
Let's do Clemson-Louisville.
Let's do Clemson-Louisville. Clemson 20, number 20, Louisville 19, Friday night. As mentioned in the rapid recap, just an absolute mess of a football game.
Let's just missed fast
opportunities.
Forward.
Yeah,
fast forward to fourth quarter.
Yeah, again, we kind of described it as a situation of like who wants this game less. Louisville misses two field goals in the fourth quarter. Clemson had a pretty bad punt gaffe that happened.
Louisville the ball.
It was so bad that I was watching the game. I glanced down to text you guys and I look up and I'm like, why didn't they punt? And then I see the replay. I'm like, oh, they tried to punt.
They tried.
Yep. Scott was like, essentially texted us. He was like, never mind, caught up.
Yeah.
But then Louisville, it's a false start, right? And then on sportsmanlike conduct, was that on consecutive plays or two and three plays, something like that?
And there was a Miller Moss sack in there that like you just cannot take.
That's right.
I mean, this was just like shooting themselves in the foot left and right. Like there was no toes left on either team coming out of this game. Like just insane. I don't even know what to say about half of this game. Like Keywon Brown was good again for Louisville. Like they've got a pretty, maybe at some point we started asking, is it scheme or is it talent? But like, they've got a pretty ridiculous running back room. If their third string running back is coming out here again, going 15 for 135 and, you know, largely dicing up Clemson's defense whenever he was getting the chance to run the ball. I did think Clemson's defense played reasonably well here. Like they played hard. They have not quit. So credit to them for that. They, you know, did not give up a whole lot of points, but again, there was some shooting toes off that went on by Louisville's offense.
Yeah.
Five unsportsmanlike penalties, I think, from Louisville in this game. Like, ridiculous.
For some reason, I think they're going to beat SMU next week. But
sure.
Wouldn't shock me. Anything's possible.
Officially, Louisville had 10 penalties for 98 yards and 3 unsportsmanlike conducts. So that's just simply not going to get the job done. Comments have been unbelievable tonight, by the way. So shout out to the chat.
Yep. But, the chat's on one.
Chat's on one for sure. Yeah, I especially enjoyed Dabo's like win one for the Gipper. This team just cares, you know, a lot, you know, did that whole thing. All the while, like, Louisville just gifts them the game in the fourth quarter. Just hands it to them on a silver platter, and Clemson's still only won by a point.
Yeah.
Congrats to Clemson, obviously. Right?
Yeah.
Like, somebody had to win this game. But it was so ugly. It was a perfect, I mean, we've talked about these ACC weeknight games. This was perfect. This had everything you could possibly want. Also, it's just like for people like you, Scott, and I, who do a podcast about this stuff, it had everything you could possibly want. Now, for the national narrative about the ACC, this is why, you know, they look at a team like Louisville that was ranked in the top 15 in the college football playoff rankings like a week and a half ago. And Louisville then goes out and loses a week ago. And then they do this on Friday night in what was effectively a standalone game, at least for the first half, right? So before that Minnesota Oregon game started later in the night, this was effectively a standalone game. So a lot of eyes were on this, and both teams just looked putrid. I mean, they just looked so bad. The first half was an abomination. I mean, it was 10-9 at halftime. Just brutal.
How many people do you think were watching this game saying, actually, you know what, YouTube TV, you can take ESPN back. We don't need this.
No.
Actually, Scott, let's fire up the DirecTV conversation again. let's go back to that. Joey, that Sling Pass, you actually need it on Saturday.
Yeah. I'm reading back through our text conversation, trying to remember, because this is really the most helpful way to remember, like how did I experience this game as it happened? First third down conversion of this game, Louisville with 4 minutes till halftime. You think that's bad? Clemson's first third down conversion and only third down conversion of this game was the first play of the fourth quarter. Like, Clemson finishes 1-for-13 on third down. Louisville's 2-for-11. I mean, just some insane stats here in this game. And the punt thing. So if you didn't see, Clemson's lined up to punt. And I think they're probably on Louisville's like 40-yard line or something like, or in the Clemson 40-yard line. Sorry. And they line up to punt, and the snap is short of the punter and just like rolls to him, and he kind of bobbles it and just has to fall on it. It's like a 15-yard loss. Louisville's got the ball on the 25, just basically the same thing that happened last week with Cal, where the game is on an absolute silver platter for you. And once again, they just find ways to shoot themselves in the foot and find a way to lose. And that's, I was talking to my dad about this, and again, he's a big Louisville fan, and he was incredibly steamed about how this game ended up Friday night. And it's like, at some point I just start wondering, like, is this what a Jeff Brohm team is? Is like, they will get up and be focused and be dialed in when they go and play Miami, and when they go and play their big time games, and they will find ways to upset teams and play above, above their talent level at times or whatever. But then they're just going to have these like implosion games because this keeps happening. Like, they keep finding ways to lose games. It's happened the last couple of years, really, really all 3 years he's been there. And it's bizarre because, you know, it doesn't really make sense why this keeps happening. But this is probably like the fourth game that I've watched this year of Louisville where I'm like, this is a really unfocused effort. They're, you know, mental errors and dumb penalties and bad turnovers and just, again, Miller Moss is a problem, but it's not all him. Like, this whole team has these bad moments where it's like, are you paying attention? Are you focused on this game or not?
Yeah, I mean, their three losses have been at home as favorites. So,
two of them in overtime. I mean,
yeah.
How about the Miller Moss post-game press conference? Speaking of the Midler.
Yeah.
So he's talking about the unsportsmanlike conduct penalties.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the short version of the quote. I can't find the long version of the quote at the moment. Quote, that's a culture thing and off-season thing that's going to have to be addressed. Directly calling out the roster for the unsportsmanlike conduct penalties.
What exactly does that mean? And also, what a bad answer to that question.
Horrible. Like, I tweeted, just tagged you guys in the podcast, like, hey, that's not a great answer. not what you want to hear if you're the Louisville SID. You're like, hey, this is the exact opposite of how we want to answer these questions.
Yeah.
You want me to play the clip?
Yeah, if you got it.
Yeah, give me 1 second. Filibuster for like 20 seconds.
They're not going to run it. Like, Miller Moss, I think he has another year of eligibility. They're not going to run it back with him next year, are they?
Maybe.
All right. Here's this clip.
Sportsmanlike penalties for cleaning those up. Is that just a matter of holding each other accountable? Or how do you just, I guess, with some of those, when tempers flare, frustrations kind of rise, how do you guys hold each other accountable in those moments to not get those penalties?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. You're competitive. It's getting to the end of the game. You want to do everything you can to win the game. But, I mean, the ultimate competitors have, you know, the greatest amount of focus in those moments. And they don't go like this. You know, they're able to
flatline and
stay even keeled. And that's obviously something that we have to work on. And I don't think something like that gets fixed week to week. I think that's a cultural thing and an off-season thing that's going to need to be addressed.
Sports.
Yeah. So the first part of his answer, as we rejoined the stream, the first part of this answer was totally fine. It was the way he ended it, which was horrible. I mean, him talking about how, you know, you're competitive, but, you know, you have to essentially channel that. And, you know, the ultimate competitors have their composure in those moments. Like, that's a good answer. Like, 90% of the answer was really, really good. It was the last 10% where it's like, God, you probably shouldn't have said that. Like, even if you believe it, that's something you don't need to tell the media.
Yeah. Yeah. I
didn't even realize he still had eligibility for next year, but
I think he does. But
we're almost out of the COVID range.
Yeah.
One more year.
Very close.
I think he's not done.
It's really not important. I just didn't think expect him to say it like that. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Clemson's going to go bowling because they won this game. And they're they're going to beat Furman next week. So,
yeah. And they'll probably beat South Carolina.
Yeah.
South Carolina, that's one of those, like, we're going to quit on Shane now.
Yeah.
Losses that they had Saturday. I mean, South Carolina, I think, is a better team, but that not by a lot.
Yeah. Hadn't been pretty. And
yeah.
Yikes. By the way, I just wanted to come back to this comment. Rangers King, we made the comment about Louisville's probably going to beat SMU next week.
No, that was just me.
Well, and just to be clear, I don't think that is any sort of particular commentary on SMU. Like, take the team name and logo off of it. It's more just the, you know, like a high end of the conference team, potentially kind of a ranked spot, potential conference championship implications, playing against a team with a ceiling here that's like been shooting itself in the foot for 2 weeks. Yeah, they're going to figure it out. Like, it's just, this is how this conference works. Something bad's going to happen, basically.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with SMU specifically. It's just welcome to the ACC.
Right. Correct.
I think I'm good on this game.
I'm so interested to see what Clemson does in the offseason with staff and players and
A
lot. And then good. Louisville too, to an extent, but
He's going to have to do something to keep up with James Franklin at Virginia Tech.
In theory.
Early stage of talks.
I'm with you, though, Mike. Like, Clemson's in a weird place. Like, they've got Dabo, who's done so many good things for so long and all this. But, like, it's very clearly been not working. And it's working even less year over year these last few years. And are they going to just keep letting him run it out there and do the same thing? Or at some point, you know, what's going to change? I don't know. But it doesn't seem like this is getting better for Clemson.
No, it's definitely not. I think last year we thought they were starting to correct stuff. Then everybody picked them to win the ACC, and they're going to finish like 6-6 or 7-5.
Yeah.
So, okay.
We'll see. Clemson 20, Louisville 19, Friday night.
You guys want to make fun of Pitt?
I don't know how much you want to make fun of them.
Did that come off salty? Hope that didn't come off too salty.
Oh, was there? I might have missed something here. Number 9, Notre Dame 37. Number 22, Pittsburgh 15.
Oh, no. That we've received comments. I'm too salty.
So. Oh, right. Don't want to be too salty here.
Don't want to be too salty. Mason Heinschel had a QBR of 8.7 in this game. That was pretty good, huh?
And then we had an Eli Holstein sighting.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, we did. It was... Yeah. So... let's play a quick game. Which one of Pittsburgh's third down conversions was your favorite?
Is there none?
That's correct. They were 0-13 on third down.
This is giving me an error in Excel right now.
Yeah. It's like, wow, that's a weird ref error. Like, why?
Yeah.
That's a Monday problem for me usually.
I'm going to start by saying there is a sequence, I think it was late in the third quarter in this game, that I'm not going to talk about here because it's going to come up later in awards and I don't want to ruin it just yet.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Speaking of Heisman contenders, Jeremiah Love.
I mean, okay.
It's gotta be back on the menu, right? But like it was a slow start the year. He was an early like preseason favorite. Then like he didn't start too hot.
Yeah.
He's back, but he's got two more games against Syracuse, which, if you haven't looked at the line, they're 35.5-point favorites.
Jeez.
So,
which, if I'm not mistaken, I think we said 34.5. We were really close.
we were really close. Name that line.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeremiah Love, 23 for 147 here. He did have a couple of big explosive runs. I think there was probably two of those carries that went for a combined 100 yards.
Yeah, he's good at football. Back on it.
Yeah, he's a real good player.
Very talented. CJ Carr, perfectly good here. He had a couple of picks, but mostly was able to keep the offense on schedule and everything. Pitt did not have much of anything for Notre Dame's defense here.
Hey, question. I know this isn't a Notre Dame podcast, but it's a Notre Dame question. Jeremiah Love, over under 50 carries in the next two games to try to give him the Heisman.
That's a pretty good number.
50 total, yeah. He had 23 in this game.
I'd go under.
I'd probably go under because, like, Syracuse.
They're playing for the playoff.
Yeah. And, like, Syracuse, he might be done at halftime. And then they play Stanford after that. So it's like, okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Good answer.
Yeah. I could see him getting into the low 40s, but I think there's probably a little bit of load management that goes on there.
Plus, he was hurt. Like, national title, he was hurt.
Yeah.
Like, semifinal, he was hurt. Like, he was hurt the entire playoff run last year, basically. He got hurt in Georgia game, maybe? Can't remember. Yeah, I mean, he had the long run against Indiana. He looked pretty good there.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. Honestly, this doesn't really change that much of how I think about Pitt. We mentioned in the preview, like, this was going to be the best defense that Mason Heinschel had seen by a long shot.
Mm-hmm.
And probably just generally the best defense that Pitt's seen all year. So it's no surprise that they're struggling here. I wonder, is there a longer term impact on a guy like Heinschel, who is just saying that he's a freshman and you ran up against a defense that, you know, you'd had a really bad day here. Like, does that stick with him? And, you know, does it change the way that he approaches the game next week? Or is it, is he seeing ghosts at times where he shouldn't be, or, you know, that kind of thing? I don't think he will be, personally.
Like, I don't think he'll be seeing ghosts against Georgia Tech's defense.
Yeah, he'll be seeing a lot of open receivers, what he'll be seeing, I'd have to imagine.
Yeah, right.
But it's the kind of thing that I wonder with a young quarterback who gets this kind of experience, like, does it linger for them? Probably not, especially a guy like him who I know Pitt fans have especially been telling us, like, this guy's super confident. Like, kind of the difference between him and Eli Holstein is Holstein makes mistakes and just lets him eat him up, and Heinchel makes mistakes and is like, eh, whatever. Like, so.
Does not have the short memory that you need.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm not all that concerned about Pitt here. Like, everything about the game next week at Georgia Tech tells me that is a pretty solid toss-up kind of situation. As bad as Tech's defense has been for, you know, at times this year, and especially in the last couple of games, the offense has been really good and been able to move the ball. So, you know, you're probably looking at a game that goes into the 30s with both teams and see who has the ball last, basically. But
I know the other night when we did the preview, I had to leave the room when the first part of the preview for this game. The Pat Narduzzi thing, where
I played
it, kind of came off like, we don't care about this game. And I agree. Like, I went back and watched the show.
Thank you.
I agreed with what you guys said. Like, yeah, he's right. But it was how it came off, mm-hmm. where it was like, we don't really need to do anything here. Like, this is not like our Super Bowl. Like, I don't know, man. Like, game day's there, and we're going to play this off like it's not a big game at all.
Yeah.
And Marcus Freeman was like, oh, it's just another step. I mean, he kind of did the same thing. It was like, it's just another step, you know, another mm-hmm. game we're focused on. We're not putting like too much on this game or whatever. And I don't know. Freeman, I think, was a little miffed. It's fair to say by Narduzzi's comments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because that post game handshake was brief, very brief.
Yeah, I mean, stop me if you've heard this before. Pat Narduzzi rubbed someone else the wrong way.
Yeah.
You know, I get it.
It had me thinking though a little bit when oops on the same line about the quote. Maybe he like literally had his staff like not really prepped for this game and just like prepped for.
It didn't look like that to me.
Okay. I mean, I only watched like the first quarter. So I was busy raking leaves yesterday, but that's good that it didn't look like that. I was just, that's what it had me thinking of.
I found myself thinking that during the game was for all the hullabaloo about those comments. It didn't look like they were just mailing this game in. Like, I think they were giving it some effort. They were trying to find ways to, you know, they didn't want to kick field goals. They wanted to punch it into the end zone. You know, like they were trying to win this game. It wasn't a total mail it in kind of situation. People mentioned, by the way, Desmond Reed got hurt during this game.
Mm-hmm.
It is far from clear what the extent of that injury is. Is he playing next week? Who's to say? You know, It is hard to imagine an opposing offense having any level of success against Georgia Tech's defense without their best skill player. But, you know, maybe Pitt could be the second team this year to do that. You know, we'll see.
That was good.
Anybody? Was good. Anything? Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks.
It's funny. Notre Dame seems good.
They do seem good.
They seem good. So
yep.
Pitt was on the wrong end of that one.
Yep, it's your every 3 year beating from Notre Dame that everyone seems to get. By the way, I probably didn't mention, we didn't mention in the preview that this is like a proper rivalry game from history.
Yeah, they used to play each other a lot.
Hasn't been recently, like has not been a constant thing since the ACC deal started up for Notre Dame, but yeah.
Yeah.
Rivalry.
I've seen a couple of Notre Dame Pitt games in person.
Yeah.
Me too.
Hey, hey. Good stuff. May I interest you in Tyler Palco?
That's
Palco. Wow.
How about that?
Wow. That's a name I hadn't thought about in a long time.
He's got to be almost 50, right? How old is Tyler Palco, you think?
Pitt used to have Notre Dame in hell all the time. I don't know if you guys remember that 2012 undefeated season, but like,
oh yeah,
Notre Dame had to like scratch and claw. I think they won in overtime.
Everett Golson had to throw a bomb in the fourth quarter.
Everett Golson, what a pull.
Was that Will Fuller he was thrown to, or
yeah, no. Maybe, yeah, it might have been.
Yeah, I think maybe that era.
Early
too
stage.
Early for Chase Claypool, but
oh man. Early.
Don't mind us. We're just remembering some dudes here on the podcast.
Brady Quinn and Darius Walker.
Anybody? That's way before that season, but sure.
Yeah.
Way earlier.
There were some fake girlfriends on that team.
Lene, is that you?
Lene Kakua.
No, it's not fake. James Franklin being Virginia Tech's next head coach.
What?
Who? Early stage of talks. Speaking of people who have pissed Marcus Freeman off.
You know, it was fake, that report that there were early stages of talks.
And Dennis 133, Tyler Palco's 42. See, wasn't too far off. I said he was 50, but I feel old.
Wow. Well, you heard it here first from producer Scott on the Basketball Conference podcast. Is it? Anyways, Notre Dame 37, Pitt 15.
Thank you, Will Secor, for that comment. Okay. Yeah, there was a lot of tragedy that year for my guy, Manti Te'o. Let's talk about the Hoos.
Number 19, Virginia, 34, Duke, 17. Again, really, really good outing, I felt like, here from Virginia. Chandler Morris, there were questions on, is he going to play? And boy, did he. Had a really good day here for the Hoos, especially through the air. This was impressive from Virginia. This is the best they've looked all year, I feel like, in a big spot where they needed it. Duke had major issues on offense, just getting anything going. Virginia's defense was really good here. Four sacks for Virginia's defense. I mean, just a good show. And to be able to go on the road and do that against a Duke team that, as we mentioned in the preview, by the way, wouldn't it be hilarious if we spent all week talking about the doomsday scenario of 9-4 Duke winning the ACC and
don't need to worry about it.
Not a problem anymore. Duke's 5-5 now. And, you know, we'll see what goes on from here, but really good from Virginia, and they are one win away from, again, being in good position for the ACC championship game. I don't really know. Again, we don't know what the tiebreaker situation is here.
That was the best sound in sports. You just heard me cracking open our drink.
Attaboy.
Yeah. Most complete game Virginia's played all year, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Relative to the competition. Everybody, you know, at least nationally remembers how crazy that Florida State game was. But this was a complete performance. Awesome. Defensively. Yes. Defensively, really, really good. Offensively, you mentioned Chandler Morris. Played his best game, and he did have a couple picks, but played his best game, I thought, in almost 6 weeks.
Since the Florida State game?
Pretty much since the Florida State game, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Virginia ran the ball well here. This is more about, and I don't want to say it's more about Duke being inept, because that's not fair. Like, Virginia was really, really good, far better team, better coached, won the game, all that good stuff. I guess my biggest takeaway from this game, though, is how bad Duke looked. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was a bit of a hapless performance. And you got to give credit to Virginia, obviously, for how they played defensively, but Duke's offense couldn't get out of its own way. And then Duke's defense, we've talked about this a little bit, where it's been very up and down for Duke this year defensively. I think early in the year we're like, all right, Manny Diaz, you know, coach defense is like, they'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. They haven't really figured it out.
Mm-mm.
Like even their better games defensively have just been kind of mediocre.
Yeah.
And you know, this one was no different. I mean, you give up almost 230 on the ground, you give up 316 in the air. I mean, Virginia got anything they wanted offensively. And
for a lot of this game, yeah.
And for a Manny Diaz coach team, that's surprising. I mean, they just haven't had the juice this year.
Yeah.
On that side of the ball.
I agree. And I mean, they've got a couple guys on that defense who are probably Sunday level players.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, so it's not like they're just like wildly under talented. It's genuinely surprising that defense has not gelled any better than it has for a lot of this year. Like when they've been winning games, it's by outscoring teams. It's not, you know, that they've been able to drag other teams down into the muck with them. It's a really weird year for Duke. Like that's from the Duke side. That's my big takeaway is like, you got the three out of conference losses. You've got some in conference wins. You gave away the Georgia Tech game. This was, I'm not going to go full on no show, but it was a little bit of a no show at home in a big spot. Like, I don't know what to make of it all. And I know that there have been some comments made about like Manny Diaz gets probably a lot more praise than he should relative to the criticism that he gets, because he doesn't get very much criticism at all. Like I feel like nationally, we talk about him like he's, you know, a bit of a low key elite coach in the sport. And like, is the team good? Are they, you know, elevated from what Duke historically has been? Like, yes, but there are still some things where like operationally, where you have a no show like this. I don't know. Like it's not a finished product, to say the least. I would say.
They don't look as good as they did with Elko.
No, they don't. They do not. That's a good way of kind of summing it all up and putting it a nice bow on it, I think.
And I think coming into the year, especially, people were talking about, and I think some of it was fair and warranted. So I don't want to say it was like totally misguided, but I think the narrative coming into the year was Manny Diaz still has it humming. You know, Elko left. Diaz had a pretty decent year one. Now he lands Darian Mensah in the portal and they paid him $4 million. And that was like the thing. Oh, wait, they paid him $4 million. And Duke cares about football now.
And Manny Diaz believes in him, Mike, as we learned.
Right. Manny Diaz believes in his $4 million quarterback. I hope so. Is it the same way that Bill Belichick believes in his $2 million?
Careful.
G6 quarterback.
Careful. Oh.
Where'd you think I was going with that?
Never mind. Well,
I know exactly where you're going.
Yeah.
It's not after midnight, so I can't make those jokes yet. Yeah, give me till later in the show.
Boys, I have the data. You want to know if Virginia was going to win an in? 99.6% mm-hmm. chance they make the title game if they beat Virginia Tech. They can still miss the title game, but there's eight other scenarios that have to happen. Do you want me to read them off?
Yeah, sure.
Also, this is from an RCFB post where someone ran, like, let's see, I think it's 4,000 simulations. He's a Georgia Tech grad. Good, or that's his flair. So shout out to
Game on Paper. This is a game on paper thing, or continue.
Do you throw it up on the screen? Ready.
Sure. I could
find your Reddit username.
I could.
Wrong tube.
Let's see. ACC championship game probabilities. All right. I don't know if you can read this. Let's do that.
There we go.
All right. So if you see this right here, it says final takeaways. They beat Virginia Tech and UVA is virtually locked in at 99.61% chance. Right.
Okay,
but this is right. What happens. If all of this happens, they still miss Charlotte. Which, if you read this, none of this is crazy. So, I think that's kind of funny.
I mean, it's also not crazy for the roulette wheel to come up red eight times in a row either. But, like...
Yeah.
So, SMU needs to win out. Georgia Tech beats Pitt. Miami beats Virginia Tech. NC State beats Florida State.
And they beat North Carolina. And Wake Forest beats Duke. Like that, none of these are crazy.
What's the most implausible? It's not like we have to have like a crazy upset
of these eight scenarios.
NC State's at home against Florida State, so that I don't know what that spread will be, but that's, even if they're underdogs, that's probably less than a touchdown spread, I would guess. Mm-hmm.
I think probably this one, SMU beating Louisville.
I don't think that's implausible.
You said most implausible
on the entire list.
Yeah.
I don't think that's implausible. Like, SMU could absolutely beat Louisville. They're probably favored against Louisville next week.
I agree. I'm saying, like, I think that's the most toss up of these other ones to me. I guess NC State's bad, so North Carolina, but I don't know.
I mean, I'm on record on this show saying that I believe that Pitt is going to win one of their final two games.
All right.
So
that would throw it off.
It's
Georgia Tech or Miami. Come on down.
It's a little bit of a
scenario. It's right here. We'll save this for later, but I think this is cool that someone did all this work.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the sport these days of how we figure out who our champion is nonsense tiebreaker city population us. Really, really good from Virginia here. Kind of disappointing from Duke. And again, very weird year. Can you imagine what this would like if everything were all the same for Duke right now, except the final minute at Clemson had gone differently? Like, they could be 4-6 and in danger of missing a bowl game here, even after everything and the way the season started and what we thought of them and all that. Like, it's strange to me the way that we have talked about Duke and to look down and now they're 5-5. Like, how did that happen?
Didn't have James Franklin as their head coach like Virginia Tech does.
Allegedly.
The streets are saying Virginia 34, Duke 17.
$2 million. She's for the streets.
Miami, number 15, Miami 41, NC State 7. I don't have a whole lot to say here. This was impressive from Miami. A little bit of a no-show from NC State. NC State was not able to move the ball at all throughout this game. They finished with under 150 total yards. Really complete performance from Miami. That was honestly impressive that they were able to do this the way that they did. CJ Bailey, a little bit of a Kobe Bryant Memorial Volume Shooter of the Week Award nominee. 30 passing attempts for 120 yards and 2 picks.
Kobe.
Yeah, just nothing was working for NC State on offense here.
Really bad running game. I mean, they had nothing. That's probably what most shocked me from this game is that they couldn't move the ball even a little bit.
Yeah, they just absolutely nothing at all. I thought that at the very least NC State would score some points here, and they barely able to, and it took everything that they had. So
yeah.
Really impressive for Miami. Really good showing. They needed this. So good for them.
Cruz. Miami's best team in the ACC, I think.
Yeah, probably the most overall talented, likely to win any given game.
Yeah. So and that's all I mean. That's all I mean, chat and commenters later if you're listening to this.
Yeah.
Anybody in the car listening, that's all I mean.
Not saying that they should be the highest ranked team in the ACC, just saying that they're probably the best one.
Right.
Have you guys seen NC State's drive chart?
Uh-oh.
Can I read just NC State's drives?
Please do. Please.
Okay. 4 plays punt, 3 plays punt, 2 plays interception, 6 plays interception, 3 plays punt, 3 plays punt, 6 plays punt, end of half. 3 plays punt, 6 plays punt, 3 plays punt, 10 plays touchdown, end of game.
Wait until the final 8 minutes of the game to actually put together a solid drive.
They had 9 first downs, which I don't know how many came on that last drive, that last 10 play drive, but yeah, not a good, just Miami smothered them basically.
Yep. Yep.
Which one of NC State's 3 third down conversions was your favorite? Yeah. We can just keep that bit going tonight.
All right. we don't have to talk about this much longer. There's not much to discuss. Really good performance from Miami.
Glad we touched the base.
Yep. Miami 41, NC State 7. Two more here, Mike.
Well, we can talk about North Carolina Wake Forest last because there's like a little more to that. Let's just quickly. Florida State beat Virginia Tech 34-14.
Yeah.
And that was that. I mean, speaking of teams who couldn't really move the ball for points of this game, the issue that the Hokies had is that they got down a couple scores and then felt like they needed to throw, which is unfortunate because they were running the ball really well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They can't throw.
Hey, but we won the James Franklin Bowl, so it's fine.
What is that mean?
They're early in talks.
So they
sure say. They are.
So good.
Yeah. I mean, this was 10-7 at halftime. This was not a super bad, fun watch.
This is bad. Bad penalties by Virginia Tech. Very untimely. A couple of not great turnovers, including one very early in the game where Kyron Drones basically just arm punted and Aiden Green fell down. So mm-hmm. that was unfortunate. Yeah.
They looked a little, not necessarily in the first half, but in the second half, they looked a little bit checked out here.
Yeah.
The Hokies are a little bit done with all of this.
A little distracted.
They got the call at halftime that James Franklin agreed to terms. So they're like, all right, we're looking forward to our next coach.
Allegedly.
Walking away.
They're early in talks.
Yeah, okay. Hokies are 3-7. They're not going to a bowl game this year.
Plenty of time to get acquainted with their new coach, James Franklin.
Allegedly.
Hypothetically.
Hypothetically. And Dennis 133. Mike, no, me. Yeah, hope so. No, just kidding. Mike Norvell. I think he keeps his job next year. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
I don't know. Nothing would surprise me. Because as mentioned,
nothing would surprise me either.
This was their senior day at home. They've got two games left at NC State and at Florida. Like, I'm not going to tell you there's no chance that they're not going to make a. There's a chance they could miss a bowl. Is what I'm trying to say.
Well, I think if they do that, right? If they miss a bowl, they'll probably fire him. They really don't want to pay that buyout. They would have done it already.
Yeah,
they can't. I mean, number one, they really can't. Like. They haven't come up with the money for it.
I wonder if there's a settlement situation that could happen there because
I'll have Fuente.
I mean, ever since they were announced out of the playoff 2 years ago, like this has been mostly complete disaster. Yeah. Like the win over Alabama this year is now one of the strangest looking games that we've had so far this year. They have otherwise not been very good. They got the win here. That's good for them. But I don't know, man.
Good for the Hokies. We're getting James Franklin.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
It is a shame.
My sources are strong.
It's a shame that Florida State. Yeah, they are. That Florida State like waved the big stick about the ACC.
A real shame.
Now they get the television money as much as anybody.
Real shame.
You know, that's a shame. You really hate to see it. But more than that, you love to see it.
The universe has a sick sense of humor.
Since Florida State was left out of the playoff just about 2 years ago, they lost 100-2, basically, to Georgia. Then they won two games last year, which was really, really bad. And this year has been very up and down.
Mm-hmm. If Norvell is back next year, does he get to run it back with the same coordinators?
Who's his quarterback?
I don't know. I think Castellanos is done after this year, isn't he?
He is. There's been some weird, which is probably for the best. There's some weird rumors on social media about Lenora Sellers leaving South Carolina, which, I mean, if you want to pick another like mediocre quarterback, let's do that. Florida State, that's what got you into this mess.
Pretty tough year back for Lenore Sellers.
There were legitimate people thinking that that guy was going to be the number one pick in the draft next year. And I was like, sure. Okay.
Is Everett Golson
going to be the coach of Virginia Tech? which is actually true.
Does Everett Golson?
Please credit producer Scott.
Please credit. Does Everett Golson still have eligibility? Because he could just go and do the Florida State thing again.
Yeah, yeah. Running the Malzahn offense.
He was a runner. I don't know. He probably like jogs for exercise now. But
yeah, yeah. It's like, get a knee replacement.
Are you good here?
I'm good here.
Yeah.
Florida State 34, Virginia Tech 14. Last one, Wake Forest 28, North Carolina 12. Another kind of a bit of a tough watch, ugly football game, but Wake makes some plays and ends up pulling this one out at the end. Did you see Wake's first touchdown in this game?
Was that the flea flicker?
No, there was like a run into a pile and there was a fumble and like three different guys tried to pick the ball up.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
Then Carlos Hernandez picks it up at about the 50-yard line and runs it all the way in. Like a 50-yard fumble recovery touchdown for the offense, which that was fun.
Awards, awards, awards.
Yeah. Yeah. You tried award, probably going to go to North Carolina. You tried to get in the end zone and just kept coming up short here.
I mean, it could also go to North Carolina secondary on the flea flicker touchdown that I was referring to when essentially like four different DBs just took horrible angles.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh shit, it's a flea flicker.
Yeah.
It was like the slowest developing flea flicker ever. And,
Look, Carlos Hernandez is nude down the sidelines, like just wide ass open.
He had one catch for 70 yards and he had five catches for 30 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a deceiving stat line. But yeah, he was wide open. Yeah. I mean, nobody within 15 yards of him. And then by the time they realized that, oh, they're actually throwing here, this is not a running play, it was way too late.
Yeah.
And the only thing I want to talk about, Nuke Jacket brought this up, and we've already mentioned it in passing. This was the worst beat of all time. Okay. So I have this game quad boxed, and I'm texting you guys frivolously. I'm surprised I can get that word out at this hour after a couple drinks. I'm texting you guys about this, and I'm like, oh, great. North Carolina just stopped Wake Forest on third down and goal. So now Wake Forest is just going to kick a field goal and the under will be preserved. We're home on the under. And then I saw Jake Dickert calling his offense to the sideline. And I'm like, okay, they're going to kick a field goal. And then they went to commercial. And again, I had this quad boxed with the sound not on this game. So it goes to commercial. And I'm like, that's a little weird. And then I text you guys 2 minutes later. And I say, wait a minute, Wake Forest is running offense on fourth and goal here with the game in hand. It's 21-12. We're running offense here. Like, what are we doing?
Running football plays. Yeah.
And of course, they score the touchdown. I'm texting you guys. I'm like, oh, my God, that's one of the worst beats I've had this year. Easily. I mean, that's going to be on bad beats for sure. If Scott Van Pelt and Sanford Steve don't have that on bad beats, I don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Turns out
Bill Belichick called a timeout.
Yeah.
Down 21-12 with the game over. And he was like, oh, I called a timeout because I didn't know what they were going to do there. Who cares what they do there? The game's over. Who cares?
The game's over. You're down two possessions with 12 seconds on the clock. Like,
you have one timeout left. What do you mean you don't know what they're going to do there? They're up two scores already.
Ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
Virginia Tech head coach James Franklin would never.
He most certainly would not. That was really good.
Cam has joined us in the comments, and
hey, Cam.
Or has reminded him that we were talking trash about Manny Diaz a little bit ago.
I've got the timestamps in the description. He can go find it.
There you go.
Don't you worry, Cam. We got you covered. Hey, Cam.
Wake's 7-3, Mike. What a coaching job from Jake Dickert and that staff to get seven wins out of this Wake program in year one.
And before anybody asks, they are definitely the worst 7-3 team in the country for sure. Before anybody asks me.
Next week, guess who comes to Winston-Salem? Guess.
Would that roll be hands. James Franklin's?
Roll hands.
No, they'll be in Blacksburg. Losing to the Hurricanes. Anyway, yes. My Blue Hens are going down to Winston-Salem. They're 18.5-point dogs. I think I like them with the 18.5.
Ooh.
I think I like them with the 18.5. They did just lose to Sam Houston State, though. But
it's not a good look.
I don't want to get sued by game day, but we can add on to our Sickos segment next year and do Super Dogs.
There you go. That would be fun.
It would be.
Yeah, I mean, good showing from Wake Forest here. This is a good look. And I saw, I think it was Chris Fanini or something, posted something this afternoon about, or maybe it was Andrea Adelson, about this game putting on display, like what a coaching job these two staffs have done in year one. And Wake just outclassing North Carolina here. And the startup, Jake Dickert, and that staff outdoing Bill Belichick and his band of merry men that he's got going on. So,
band of merry men. I mean, this is what you get for having Freddie Kitchens call plays.
Yeah, that's very true. Very true. That's all I got here, Mike. I don't have a ton. Again, just good showing from Wake and tough scene from North Carolina, who just still offense is laborious.
Good word. I have a take.
Elite word.
Wake Forest is going to go 9-3.
Oh, that's a heater. Let's see.
Do we have a siren sound?
Delaware and then at Duke. Nuts.
Come on. Let's get nuts.
Delaware, I do have a siren. Do you want the siren?
Duke. Yeah. There it is.
I like that. I like that. Yeah, they might. They might. I don't know what that Duke game is going to look like in a couple weeks, but 9-3 on the table for the Deeks. That's for sure.
Fire up our boy Connor O'Neill.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't wait to forget about this statement and then pick Duke to beat Wake in 2 weeks on the preview. Excited about that.
We're nothing if not really, really good at this, Mike.
Will Sikora has a corresponding take. Duke's going to go 5-7.
You get the show.
You, sir, have been with us in the comments before.
Uh-huh. I know that's right. All right, we good on this one?
Yes. Awards.
It's time to do awards.
Yep.
Let's do that. Hit the music. Okay, so we teased this earlier. The Go ACC moment of the week, and buddy, there were candidates on Friday night at the very least in that Louisville-Clemson game, but for me, and you guys are willing to, you know, welcome to have your own, but for me, it was, I think it was late in the third quarter of Notre Dame and Pittsburgh. Pitt is going in. They go for it on fourth down. They throw a really nice little like swing pass to a running back. He gets into the end zone, and then they replay it, and they decide, no, actually, the knee was down just short of the goal line.
Yep.
It's a turnover on downs. Notre Dame gets the ball. Notre Dame runs a couple of plays, and CJ Carr throws a little bubble screen to the side that was just totally telegraphed, and Rasheem Biles knew it was coming, jumps in front of it, picks it off. 10-yard pick six for Pitt.
Pitt goes for two.
Pitt's going for two because it's, it was 30-9, and we're trying to make it 30-11. So Pitt goes for two. We throw a pass into the end zone. It is intercepted, and there goes Aiden Shuler, 102 yards the other way. Returns the interception for a 2-point conversion on defense for Notre Dame. So just what a sequence to nearly score the touchdown. Don't get it. Then you get the pick six, and then you get pick sixed yourself on the 2-point try. I go ACC to that.
Yeah. A perfect sequence.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah. My go ACC moment of the week was slightly different. It was Clemson botching the punt.
Yeah.
Late, and then Louisville doing absolutely nothing with it,
botching the ensuing possession, missing a field goal.
Yeah, we had the Midler Moss sack, we had a false start, then we had an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty that that's how you lose games.
Total calamity. Yeah. That was
a calamity and a collapse.
Yeah. Go ACC to that. Yeah. The Brian Van Gorder Memorial You Tried Award. North Carolina tried to get in the end zone and just for the life of them, they could not do that.
They tried to kick field goals too.
NC State tried to move the ball on offense and just couldn't do it. Georgia Tech tried to get a stop and just enough of those in that game.
Arkansas tried to hire James Franklin.
Didn't do it. In theory, hypothetically.
Yeah. Early stages of talks.
Yeah. Right. As allegedly.
Yeah.
The Bobby Petrino Memorial You Didn't Try Award. That might go to
NC State.
Yeah, NC State. Those Hokies had a tough go of it.
Nope. Yeah. NC State's not the Hokies.
And I don't know how hard Blake Gideon tried for Georgia Tech. Defensive coordinator.
That was a disaster. Yes, yeah. I don't know either.
So, shout out to that. Kobe Bryant Memorial Volume Shooter of the Week. As mentioned, NC State on offense, lots of candidates.
Yeah, CJ Bailey, probably.
Yeah, tough scene. And then, yeah, we can probably use some North Carolina offense in on that as well. Let's see. Benjamin Hall, 8 carries for 21 yards. Gio Lopez, 36 passing attempts for 201 yards. It's, you know, not the worst passing line, but it's not good.
I mean, come on, guys. Let's show some love to UNC kicker Rhys Fairhoff on his 6 field goal attempts.
He got 4 of them.
I mean, yeah, 66% is pretty good on field goals, I guess. Yeah.
Better than I could do. Kobe. That's all I've got on awards. Mike, do you have any other unsanctioned awards that you're looking to?
The 66% thing, by the way, for those on audio, that was sarcasm. Go watch the video back. Unsanctioned awards?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Queen Elizabeth II Memorial You Died Award certainly goes to NC State here.
Yeah. Tough scene.
Yeah.
Will Secor sent us one the other night. The D.B. Cooper Memorial Got Away With It Award, Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
Thanks, Will.
They did. They did. Team of the week.
Virginia.
Virginia? Yeah.
I think so. Maybe Clemson. I don't know. It's giving Clemson a lot of credit for not losing that game. So
back it up.
My team of the week is Virginia Tech's coaching hiring committee for hiring James Franklin. Good job.
Allegedly.
Please credit.
Please credit me. Thank you.
Player of the week.
Haynes King.
Whoa, wait. Can we have a non-player of the week?
Jimmy Sexton? Or like...
It is related to Virginia Tech. It's about the dude that went to the airport and like tracked down the private plane.
Yes.
And then ended up with $5,000 in his Venmo account because our fans are sickos. Because he was saying that he's only been able to eat one meal a week because he's like low on rent money or something. So shout out to that guy. I forget his handle on the Virginia Tech 247 boards, but he ended up on
message board geniuses.
Yeah, he staked out the private play or the Virginia Tech owned PJ, found Bud Foster.
Took a selfie with Bud Foster after Bud Foster was getting back from state college.
Like on the tarmac.
On the tarmac basically. After he was getting back from state college to
Blacksburg.
Back from state college to Blacksburg.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
State College, Minnesota? Or?
Closing a deal with James Franklin.
Legend.
In theory, allegedly.
Yes.
So he's our ACC fan of the week. Let's put it that way.
Fan of the week. I mean, there were apparently like hundreds of pages on the message board of people trying to get his handle on Venmo, sending him money. Yeah. He ran up a tab of $5,000 for taking a picture on the tarmac with Bud Foster and scoping out the PJ on Friday night. Guys, this is the greatest sport on earth.
It is. Don't let anybody tell you anything different. Don't let
anybody tell you otherwise.
By the way, also, Chandler Morris and Jamari Taylor were very good for Virginia this week.
They were.
Virginia is awesome.
Hell yeah.
Thank you. That volume really came through too, so it made it funnier.
Yeah. anything else on week 12?
Nice, clean, hour and a half.
Solid hour and 29 minutes. Good job.
Yeah, pretty good recap.
Seven games.
Yeah, I mean, we had three games go for... We're at the hour mark after three, so...
Yeah.
We sped up.
True. At least we can't complain about not being able to watch the games in the preview next week.
That's true. Very true.
Yeah.
It was fun while it lasted.
All right, let's work on getting out of here. We will come back and preview all that week 13 action. We got a big week ahead of us.
Yep, we'll fully talk about the hiring of James Franklin as well.
Allegedly.
I said in the preview, that's a couple days from now.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah.
Theoretically, it'll be done.
There's certainly nothing in drafts. we would not want to be prepared.
Nothing already Again. Scheduled for sure.
Absolutely not. I mean, we go by Jimmy Sexton's schedule.
Call that the sex schedule.
It's always good to have one of those.
He's producer Scott. we're going to get out of here. We're going to go get ready to preview these games. We'll be back Wednesday night, most likely. We do have a weeknight game next week. Friday night, we've got Florida State and NC State, and then we've got a full slate of games on Saturday. Keep it tuned here, youtube.com/@theACCFootballPodcast. Hit the subscribe button, hit the bell icon, hit the like button. We would appreciate all of those things. Go find us on Spotify, Apple, wherever you go find your podcast. We are out all those places. If you prior subscribe there, please go. Wilson Cord nails it.
Scott's oh, my God. Show. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We have a Furman at Clemson. CW uh-huh. underdog situation
oh,
at 4:30 on Saturday. No. Oh,
it's perfect.
I will see you all at the Sicko segment.
Yeah, buddy. We will be there. We'll be there. All right. Spotify, iTunes, your whatever, wherever you go find your audio. I need to go to bed. BasketballConferencePodcast@gmail.com is the email address.
Nailed it.
Thank you. That's all I got. Anything else before we get out of here?
No, not for the show.
Shout out to the chat. Y'all have been great tonight. Appreciate the people showing out and staying up late with us on a Sunday night.
Absolutely.
Mike, Scott, you want to come back and preview week 13?
And talk about the hiring of James Franklin at Virginia Tech?
Yep. Allegedly.
Hypothetically.
That'll be at the top of the show.
Maybe.
In theory. For that guy, Mr. Mike McDaniel, for Mr. Producer Scott, I'm Joey Weaver. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll talk to you again very, very soon. Until next time, go ACC.